Friends, in the next block of time, we have a beautiful opportunity. We are going to explore some of the verses of Psalm 77, specifically verses 6 through 12. And to help us do that, there are a couple of members of our community. The first is going to be Daylene DeGraff. And if you are a lady in our church that has been on the women's retreat, then you may have heard from Daylene DeGraff. She has extensive ministry experience, particularly something that I've learned in recent months, and actually helping to move forward ministry in several of the African countries. And after Daylene, this is what we're going to do. After Daylene gives a reflection on her verses, there's going to be a question that comes up, and this is why we have the paper and pen or pencil. And we are all going to be invited into an opportunity to answer this question. And this question really is to say it is talking about how our lives have interacted with the verses that she's going to explore. Okay? And then we'll have a few minutes to do that, and then we'll sing a bit. And then the next person that'll come up will be Lynn Timbrink. Now, Lynn has been an elder in our church. She has also been a part of Young Life for several years. Maybe if you are, if you've been around for a while, maybe you know Lynn. She's going to come up and she's going to explore verses 10 through 12 of Psalm 77. And then we're going to get an opportunity to respond with a question prompt that's going to come up. Our goal and our desire in this time is not that just that we would receive somebody else's story, not just that we would receive how the verses have impacted somebody else's life, but that we would have an opportunity to look into ourselves, to remind ourselves of when times were great, when times were times of plenty, and how God's hand has been consistent in all of those times. Amen? Okay, now I'm going to move this table, and then we're going to welcome up Daylene.
So thank you for the welcome, and I want you to know that I am honored to be the first of many community members, you all, who are going to be asked to participate in services going forward. This is the beginning of something new here, and I'm just very honored to be here with you. So we're meditating on Psalm 77, 6 through 9, and I'm just going to slowly read it first. I remember my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" I find it important that the psalmist mentions in the night, because I don't know about you, but for me, in the darkness of night come my darkest feelings and thoughts. They envelop me in a bubble of darkness and depression. These nights were almost constant when I was going through the depression of my divorce a number of decades ago now. From time to time, I once again have a deep depression and struggle in the darkness. More often lately, with the events of the world, the darkness is a mixture of angst, a mixture of anxiety and anger, with a question, where is God? When in depression or in angst, all thoughts are dark. I'm enclosed in a bubble of darkness. Even love of family bounces off my bubble. And sadly, even it seems like the love of God bounces off the bubble of darkness. Even the promises and character of God mentioned in Psalm 77, even the mercy and compassion of God mentioned in Psalm 77, bounce far away from my heart and mind into the abyss. Other times, my angst and depression feels like waves crashing and smashing, like thoughts tossing and turning here and there as I toss and turn in bed at night alone in the dark. Over the years, I have found the words of the childhood song from the Let Youth Praise Him, "Lift the Darkness and Calm My Angst," as I sing it to myself over and over. "Master, the tempest is raging," is when the disciples were terrified, tossed by waves crashing and smashing. And Jesus awoke and said, "The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. They shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. They shall all sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace, be still." As we ponder times when God and his promises and mercy and compassion seem far, far away, I also invite you to ponder what songs might bring comfort or a better understanding for you of God's character. And I'm going to add something on to what I was going to say. Those of you who know me, I'm a bit of a bibliophile. And Philip Yancey has spoken, "Where is God when it hurts?" And he has written a sequel, "Questions That Don't Go Away, Why?" And I would just encourage you, if you have these questions, to spend some time with the words that Dr. Yancey tells us. And so as we go on to ponder the times when God has been far, far away, I invite you to spend some time writing, especially if you have kids who are going to ask you, "What did you write?" Maybe we could ask one another. Thank you. Thank you.
is my heart, Lord. He is my heart, Lord. He is my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. He is my life, Lord. He is my life, Lord.
I'm going to focus on Psalm 77, verses 10 through 12, and I'll read those for you. Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. I'm going to focus a little bit on that word remember. It's actually shows up twice in one verse, and that's why I think it's important. And I remember when my husband Paul and I were young parents with three kids. Many of you are living in that chaos right now. In addition, I was working at a long-term psychiatric care facility for kids and adolescents who are trying to navigate mental illness as a result of trauma. I am also someone who is a high achiever. I love to get things done. Some of us call this GSD. I also have a high sense of responsibility, which means I see what needs to be done. And possibly I have something that is familiar to many of you, which is Dutch guilt when I don't get those things done. And we laugh about Dutch guilt. I've laughed a lot about Dutch guilt in my life, but I also realize it's been pretty harmful in my life. Well, during these years of our young family, this job opened my eyes to the extremes of both good and evil. Good in the curiosity, joy, and fun of kids, and also the evil of all types of abuse. Brokenness of both people and systems. This was an extremely difficult time for me. I questioned myself. I was suspicious of other people. I was hyper concerned about the impact of my own parenting, and I constantly wondered where God was and how he fit into all of this. Growing up in the church, I had learned and experienced a lot of black and white. But now I was being introduced to a whole lot of gray. My questioning led me to settle into my personal groove of getting things done, because it didn't seem like God was doing what he needed to do. It didn't seem like he was being as efficient as he needed to be in the lives of the people I was around. Well, I am sure you can guess where this all got me. For months and months, I was mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted. Now, I can look back and see the paving stones of God's miraculous work done in me and around me. It didn't go the way I thought it should go, but his handiwork was everywhere. His vastness now makes my to-do list feel easy. And looking back on this time, I see the handiwork of God. His hands stretched way past what I thought I could do or what I thought he should do. And here are some of the miracles I am remembering and that I got to see, and I get to see now at this stage of my life. God grew my awareness of who I am, and I recognize that is more important than what I do. God grew me away from earning his love to surrendering to his love. With the anxiety I projected onto my own kids, we now see them as adult kids having a high value for becoming, which is much more balanced than I was with their doing. I have run into kids from this mental health facility. I worked there for 13 years, so there was a lot of kids. And when I see them, they don't remember anything we did. They just remember that they feel cared for, known, and valued, no matter what their behavior. God is truly redeeming all things, not through the empire, as Tim referred to last week, of my or your to-do list, but it's quite a different way. It's through redeeming me and redeeming us into the truth of who he made us to be. God has also given me an interior freedom that is becoming a deeper groove than the need to achieve or get things done. And like Daylene mentioned, the gray has not gone away. As you get older, the gray gets faster and faster. And yet, God has given me that interior freedom to be confident that he is in control. He actually doesn't need me, but he would like me to partner with him. I have this quote in my journal. I think it was Brian McLaren. I'm not really sure. But it's this: a change of heart is a miracle, and it should stun us. And it does. I am stunned by the miracles in my life, in me and around me. And I want to read the last verse 12 again in the NLT, because I just love what it says or how it's said. It says, "But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts, and I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works." Thanks for listening.
Thank you. To this table, as you are invited into God's expansive and faithful love for you. This is not an invitation that we earn or can control, but it is one for you and for all people. There's no tickets or saved seats. In fact, this is a table that is set even in the presence of our enemies, both for them and when we feel surrounded. This is Christ's table. So we do this in remembrance of God's goodness. The psalmist says, "Remember the works of the Lord, God's faithfulness and mercy," and so we do. We taste to awaken our senses to fully remember God's goodness. And tell the story with our lives, a story we rehearse together. The Lord be with you. Would you lift up your hearts? It is right to let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Would you pray with me? Lord God, what a privilege it is to give thanks to you. At all times and in all places, in moments of the darkest of nights, or on the mountaintop looking back at your faithfulness, or anywhere on the journey, we give thanks because you are faithful. You are provider. You are the one who is capable to take our life, to take our heart, and speak your truth and transform us deeper and deeper into more union with your Son, Jesus Christ. And so God, we ask that you would do that work through this meal, that you would take this bread that's made up of grain from different fields, made into one loaf, and that you would take this cup, Lord, that has grapes from many different vines and is now one. And would you do that work as you gather us, your church, into yourself? Would you make us the communion of the body of Christ? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And it was this Jesus who took his friends and invited them to sit down at the table. It was the night in which actually he was going to be betrayed unto death. And he opened the meal and he took this bread and he broke it and blessed it, saying, "This is my body that is broken for you." After they'd eaten together, Jesus takes the cup, he blesses it, said, this is the new promise, the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it together in remembrance of me. And so we do. This gift that has been passed to us, we share in the name of Jesus Christ. As a community, we have some tables around where you can come and take and eat and come forward here and be served the elements. It's a chance, if you wish to continue writing, to put things in our prayer walls and know that our staff will pray for you and alongside of you. And if writing is not enough in this moment, Brian is back there with the prayer name tag and would love to pray with you, for you, over you, if that's a helpful thing. Allow this time to be a continuation of the remembrance of God's goodness and letting the faithfulness of God encounter us in our story to carry us forward. Good news. So with that, would you come and receive who you are, the body of Christ, as we rehearse this story that we speak together, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come. Come, for all things are ready.